if you look at Apple computers, there was a guy there named Steve Jobs who really understood and appreciated the world of customers. He created some products initially, literally out of his garage with his partner, Steve Wozniak, and they went to the top, and he created some products that became cultural icons, the Mac. And then at one point, he got stuck. He got in a position where the business wasn't growing. He had to learn some lessons. He left the business. But the transformation of Apple in the last decade or so has been so dramatic. And the transformations that have occurred have shown up in many ways. They were the iPod. They were the changing of the Mac in terms of the way it's look and its feel, the anticipation of a different operating system. But I'll tell you something else he did. He broke people's patterns. Here's a guy that understood and appreciated the customer's world. He was always finding leverage to get people to come up with something better, where better wasn't a should, it was an absolute must. Constantly breaking every pattern that people thought of what was possible. That's one of his great skills. He's constantly defining the problem in solvable terms. Look, here's all we need to do. Here's what we're going to create for people. We're going to find the solution. We're going to create the iPhone. We're going to integrate everything. It's really simple. All we're going to do is take three things that already exist: the phone, the iPod, and the internet connection. We're going to put them in one device for everybody. You know, what does he do? He breaks the pattern. He comes up with a problem that's solvable, and he comes up with alternatives that are totally empowering. And then he conditions people. He conditions the media. He conditions everyone. The stock price of Apple, when they announced the iPhone, it wasn't even out. It was just him conditioning people. This is going to be the greatest program in the world. No one had seen an actual iPhone in the world, but it was written up everywhere, built this anticipation. And he got people so excited about it that now he's got a business that's, again, another gigantic victory for Apple. And, you know, they have a clear purpose. Their job is to constantly make it simpler, better, the very best that exists. So this is true of anything. If you look at changes that happen in a culture, you can look at any one of these steps and you can see somebody like Nelson Mandela. What an unbelievable soul. Had the privilege of spending time with him many years ago. And of all the people I've ever met in my life, he's got to be in the top one or two or three, you know, along with maybe Mother Teresa and maybe a few other people in my life that I would say I respect the most. I mean, can you imagine someone stealing a quarter of a century of your life away from you, putting you behind bars when you've done nothing wrong and you not wanting to kill everybody? I mean, here's an amazing soul. And you know what's interesting? Look at how he did it. When he was in jail, what was he doing? And I asked him, I actually made the stupid mistake. I didn't realize at the time when I first met him, I was trying to think, you know, what would I really like to know from him? And so I said, Mr. Mandela, I said, tell me, how did you survive all those years in jail? And, oh my God, this guy, he's a big man. You could see him rise up and he had this look of disdain on his face looking at me. And I'm thinking, what did I say? And he said, I didn't survive. I prepared. I mean, I got chills remembering it right now. I mean, he said it with such authority. While he was in jail, he believed he needed to prepare himself to be a leader. And that one of two things would happen. Either he would be able to lead his people. In order to do that, he knew he had to be able to reach out to the white leaders of apartheid. He had to understand them. He had to be able to communicate with them. So he studied Afrikaans. He literally learned the language of the people that imprisoned him while he was in prison. He was reading constantly, preparing himself, because he said, I'm either going to lead my people or I'm going to die in jail, and my death will spur on a total transformation, a revolution in my country, one or the other. I mean, what an unbelievable mindset. And then what did he do? He found a way to get leverage. The leverage is they kept coming to him and saying, listen, we'll release you if you just promise not to say anything. And of course, he said no. And his being locked up in jail became the leverage where people got more and more upset around the world. How did he break patterns? First acts he did when he got out of jail. It was an amazing experience. I had the privilege of actually going out to that island where he was held. It was quite an experience. But when he got out of jail, the first thing he did is he put on the jersey of Springboks. It was the symbol for every black South African of everything that was wrong with society, the white supremacy. And he wore the jersey as if it was his own. What a gutsy move. Talk about breaking people's patterns. And how about when he all of a sudden he's starting to talk to people he's negotiating with and they don't think he understands Afrikaans and he's speaking in their language. I mean, this is the way change happens in a culture, not just with an individual. And he defined the problem in solvable terms. He said, if not black, white. He said, there are many white people that are amazing and there are many black people that are mean and vice versa. He actually used the tool to help people begin to look at people from what they valued and what they believed instead of the colors of their skin. something you may be familiar with called spiral dynamics. I won't go into that now, obviously. Fifthly, he kept creating alternatives. Where people thought there was no way they could live together, he came up with those alternatives. And he reinforced and conditioned it by his example. Everywhere he could, he broke patterns where violence were occurring, and he brought it to a higher purpose, the higher purpose of the humanity of everyone there. He changed a culture. He changed a world. There are still many challenges there, don't get me wrong. But things that were thought to be impossible became possible because of a man who understood these seven steps. He may not have called it the seven master steps, but I guarantee if you look at his life, he did it. Rosa Parks broke everybody's pattern when she said, no, I won't go up to the back of the bus. Think of all the historic examples. Think of all the examples that anyone who's ever led, and I guarantee you, you'll find one or more of these seven steps. If you apply each of the seven steps, you're going to get results that are extraordinary.